VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. We are going to be having a news roundup program today. And, wow, again, I've got probably enough for two or three full programs with no phone calls. So we'll try and whittle this down. But certainly want you to be understanding of the times in which we live. They are perilous times. And I think you'll find that there is quite a mirror image of what we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3 taking place even in society today. Don't lose heart, though, friends. We don't despair. We don't fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it's important for those elements to be part of our lives. And certainly as we go through the news today, may it burden our hearts to be in prayer for our nation, for our churches, for our families, for ourselves, that we'd walk closely with our Lord. And may it also motivate us to share the good news of the gospel with others who certainly need it in such a time as this. Well, there are world tensions that are heightening. As ABC News reports, China flew some 56 fighter planes toward Taiwan on Monday. It's the largest show of force on record, continuing the 3 days of sustained military harassment against the self-ruled island. The Taiwanese Air Force scrambled its fighter planes and monitored the movement of the Chinese warplanes on its air defense system. China claims democratically ruled Taiwan as its own territory to be brought under its control by force if necessary. It refuses to recognize the island's government. Joseph Wu, who is the Taiwanese foreign minister, said, "We're very concerned that China is going to launch a war against Taiwan at some point, even though the threat may not be imminent at this point." Well, in response to the pattern of increased military pressure from China, Taiwanese Foreign Minister Wu said in an interview that his country is prepared to fight back if China attacks, reports AmericanMilitaryNews.com, saying if China is going to launch a war against Taiwan, we will fight to the end, and that is our commitment. We also have the American Military News reporting after a report from the Wall Street Journal on Thursday claimed U.S. troops have been training troops in Taiwan for the past year. The editor-in-chief of the Chinese state-run Global Times said that those troops should reveal their location and see whether they will be attacked and eliminated with a targeted airstrike by Chinese military. From that same news source, for the first time ever, Taiwanese officials confirmed this week that their military is developing a supersonic land attack cruise missile that's potentially capable of reaching the Chinese capital city of Beijing. As we go to another news source, Western Journal, a Chinese company unveiled what its chief designer is calling a flying grenade at an air show. The CH-817 is a mini drone weighing just 28 ounces. It can be used for both reconnaissance and attack missions, according to the Global Times, that is published by the Chinese Communist Party. We can fly, they call it a flying grenade, said Xi Wen, the designer of this drone series. It can fly up to 15 minutes and be carried by individual soldiers, according to the Washington Free Beacon. They've also got another drone that has a longer endurance of some 20 hours, can reach a top speed of 435 miles per hour. The drone can also carry out anti-submarine missile, maritime patrols, early warning missions, and close-range air support, the Times reported. Gatestone Institute is also reporting that China, through investments in and ownership of ports, is expanding its global maritime reach, and its appetite for ports shows no signs of diminishing. As of July of 2020, Chinese firms reportedly partly owned or operated some 95 ports across the globe. Think about that, folks. Any significance to this and what's happening in ports around the globe? Out of the 95 ports, 22 are in Europe, 20 in the Middle East and North Africa, 18 in the Americas, 18 in South and Southeast Asia, and 9 in Sub-Sahara Africa. Just three Chinese communist companies. Among them are Costco Shipping Ports and China Merchant Port, two credited, rather central state-owned enterprises, account for operations of 81% of these ports. In China, Costco is designated as one of the 53 important backbone state-owned enterprises. Very interesting indeed, folks, as we see what is taking place here. Their status as an important backbone SOE means that it's uniquely beholden to the Communist Chinese Party. Washington Times reporting the Army is moving one of its newest missile defenses, the U.S. Israeli-developed Iron Dome system, to the western Pacific island of Guam to counter threats from Chinese missiles. It's a temporary deployment, but being carried out as part of the 2019 Defense Authorization Act regarding the employment of Iron Dome to an operational U.S. military region no later than the end of 2021. The Army had reported that in a statement. The College Fix is reporting that Emerson College is launching an investigation into a campus conservative group. What did it do? Well, it handed out stickers. It handed out stickers critical of the Chinese government. It's amazing, folks. And so they're launching this investigation into this anti-Chinese messaging that's inconsistent with the college's values and will not be tolerated on our campus. This was a letter by interim Emerson president William Gilligan. Let's go on to Western Journal here. China has disinvited the rest of the world from attending the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. The International Olympic Committee last week announced that international spectators are not allowed at the Olympics, which begin February 4th. The move has since been dubbed a level of control never before seen at the Games, according to the New York Times. The only fans allowed will be Chinese residents who meet criteria that the Chinese government has not yet released. Family members of athletes, as well as any friends, are banned. Only Chinese spectators at the Olympics in 2022. Interesting story from LifeSiteNews.com. Intimidate and overwhelm the global predators behind the COVID reign of terror. This is an article from Dr. Joseph Mercola. He writes that we're in the middle of the biggest, most effective propaganda war in the history of the world, designed to make us helpless, obedient, and docile. The end goal is to create a totalitarian world regime, he reports. In psychotherapy, people who have been abused often cannot identify the abuse as evil. Citizens across the world are currently being abused and must face the fact that there are evil people intentionally trying to hurt them. In 2015, he also points out, a scientific paper announced that the means to create a pandemic, the research funded by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and carried out at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Also reporting that the Communist Chinese Party has been working with SARS-CoV-type viruses since at least 2003. There have been four different leaks of SARS viruses since then. In 2016, Bill Gates created a business plan for the World Economic Forum that details everything we're experiencing now. Dr. Peter Bragan discusses his latest book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators We Are Prey. He explains that it's extremely important to get over this attempt to make us all helpless, obedient, and docile. As to the goal, the health leaders are ignoring COVID jab injuries and deaths. They do not want anyone to use early treatment. Western countries have been icons of freedom and liberty are being hit the hardest by the pandemic and put under the harshest countermeasures. The risk of dying from COVID-19 is less than 0.5% for all but the very old who have multiple comorbidities. Vaccine makers have no financial liability for vaccine injuries and deaths. Governments started out enticing people to get the experimental shot using a variety of bribes, then moved on to forcing the shots using threats such as loss of employment, higher insurance rates, loss of travel privileges, loss of right to health care in general, and more. What do these facts taken together tell us? What are the powers that be getting this out? Bragan explains, quote, the spike protein is the spearhead of an assault on humanity that has nothing to do with COVID-19 whatsoever, but is planned through COVID-19 in order to vastly increase the wealth of numerous institutions and individuals, many of them, unfortunately, originating from America, who are working in collaboration with the Communist Chinese Party in order to increase the vast exploitation of the world. You'll find the full piece there at LifeSiteNews.com. And a very interesting piece. I've only been able to share a portion with this article here with you here today. Let's go on to globalcovidsummit.org. More than 10,000 physicians and medical scientists worldwide have signed the Rome Declaration to alert citizens about the deadly consequences of COVID-19 policymakers and medical authorities. Unprecedented behavior such as denying patient access to life-saving early treatments, disrupting the sacred physician-patient relationship, and suppressing open scientific discussion for profits and power. The declaration was created by physicians and scientists during the Rome COVID Summit, and immediately catalyzed support from doctors around the world. Professionals, many of whom are on the front lines of pandemic treatment, have experienced career threats, character assassination, censorship of scientific papers and research, social media accounts blocked, online search results manipulated, clinical trials and patient observations banned, and their professional history and accomplishments minimized in both academic and mainstream media. The objective of this declaration is to reclaim their leadership role in conquering this pandemic. In concert with the declaration, the signatories have created a doctors and scientists only COVID information platform. Well, folks, as of yesterday morning, over 11,000 doctors and scientists have signed the Rome Declaration. I wish I had time to read it. It's a good page and a half of writing here. I cannot. You can do a web search for it. But it is growing as doctors and scientists around the globe are picking up and signing the document. From LifeSiteNews.com, a public health and geographic analysis professor at Harvard recently published a study that found COVID-19 vaccination rates do not correspond with lower infection rates. Isn't that what many have been saying? Yeah, this is he's saying the sole reliance on vaccination as a primary strategy to mitigate COVID-19 and its adverse consequences needs to be reexamined, especially considering the Delta variant and the likelihood of future variants. That's Professor S.V. Subramanian. He wrote in a September 30th paper. His research looked at 68 different countries and almost 3,000 counties in the United States. In fact, the trend line suggests that a marginally positive association such that countries with higher percentage of population fully vaccinated have higher COVID-19 cases per 1 million people, he wrote. Isn't that interesting? The more the vaccination rate, the more cases of COVID that are being reported and found those true to be in the study. Let's go on to a story here from Breitbart. Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health, announced his resignation Tuesday, just weeks after documents exposed that he made untruthful comments about U.S. federal funding of gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Francis Collins leaving NIH. Also, a story here from LifeSiteNews.com, the World Health Organization's publicly accessible database now shows over 2 million cases of possible COVID vaccine injuries in 2021 alone, 69% of the cases occurring in female patients. Its Vigit Access was founded in 2015 by WHO to allow the public access to their database. According to the database, as of, let's see, October 7th, there have been 2,199,476 adverse effects following vaccination. 39% of the injuries in 18 to 44 year olds, 69% have been in the. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break here where the music is already playing, and I want to get this right so that you have the right numbers here with the age group, because it's really important to see what's happening on a global scale as it relates to vaccine injuries. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the fossils take millions and millions of years to form?
Chris, we're all taught this, but in some ways this doesn't seem to make sense. We find millions and billions of well-preserved fossils, such as fish, showing scales and tiny bones. Yet when a fish dies, it flows to the surface or it sinks to the bottom where it's eaten by scavengers or quickly decays. In order for it to be preserved, it's got to be buried rapidly away from destructive processes. It seems obvious that fossils must be buried quickly by water action, and what can do that? I propose the Great Flood of Noah's Day. The fossils, by and large, are animals that died in the flood, laid down in sediments deposited by the flood. Yes, indeed, Chris, the flood is the key. It's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, I want to get these numbers right, and I apologize for that here going into the break. But again, this is World Health Organization. They're a publicly accessible database and VIDA access. Through October 7th, 2,199,476 adverse effects following vaccination against COVID-19 have been reported in 2021. That's through October 7th, with 39% of all the injuries reported in 18 to 44-year-olds and 69% of all injuries occurring in women. They mention just a number of the injuries have been reported, blood and lymphatic system disorders, cardiac disorders, musculoskeletal, that is, and connective tissue disorders, reproductive system disorders, respiratory, thoracic, many other disorders as well. Let's go to the newamerican.com. Executives at Pfizer, that's the pharmaceutical company responsible for one of the shots, that's approved for the use of COVID-19, may have sought to downplay the use of aborted fetal cells in the development of that vaccine. I'm looking at thenewamerican.com. The starting revelation came to light after Project Veritas released a video in which a Pfizer employee shared a string of company emails about the subject. Melissa Strickler, a manufacturing auditor with the company, shared the emails with Project Veritas founder and president James O'Keefe in a video that was released Wednesday night. The video is part of their ongoing series about the COVID-19 vaccines. Well, Pfizer has already claimed that no fetal cells are used in the manufacturing process, but aborted fetal tissue was used in the research and development stage of the vaccine, a fact that the company is trying to keep under wraps, probably due to possible backlash from the pro-life community. In a February 4th email written by Vanessa Gilman, Senior Director for Worldwide Research, Development and Medical Communications for Pfizer, Gelman takes her message to a colleague to steer clear of the subject if possible. Quote, she wrote, "We have been trying as much as possible not to mention the fetal cell lines." Gelman then shared the company approved language for addressing the issue, saying, quote, "Human fetal cell lines are not used to produce our investigational vaccine." Isn't that interesting? But there was a second sentence to that statement in which Gelman warned, quote, "We have tried really hard not to share unless it's strictly necessary and mission critical." That second sentence was one or more cell lines that can be traced back to human fetal tissue has been used in laboratory tests associated with the vaccine program. In a follow-up email dated February 9th, Gelman doubled down on the company's intention to keep the knowledge hidden from the public. Quote, "We want to avoid having information on the fetal cells floating out there." She also wrote, "We believe that the risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit we could see, particularly with general members of the public who may take this information and use it in ways that we may not want out there." They don't want to stir up a mess, Strickler said. They don't want to deal with people who are upset because people can use religious exemptions for it, and they don't want that. I think they want nobody to have an excuse to not get the vaccine. That's from thenewamerican.com. Pfizer executives hiding the role of aborted fetal tissue in the development of the vaccine. Well, there are mandates that are coming down everywhere. And from CNSNews.com, although the Los Angeles City Council passed a COVID vaccine mandate for people entering restaurants, salons, and gyms, Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva said he is not going to force his law enforcement employees to get the vaccine shot. Here's what he had to say.
Are you forcing your officers to set the vaccine, to get the vaccine? As I said, no, I'm not forcing anyone. The issue has become so politicized, there are entire groups of employees that are willing to be fired and laid off rather than get vaccinated. So I don't want to be in a position to lose 5, 10% of my workforce overnight on a vaccine mandate, while at the same time, our bare bones with the funding effort. So this is like the worst of two worlds right here.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to pick and choose.
He's saying, well, okay, we've already been defunded, and now we're going to lose more by doing this. I'm not going to enforce this. That's Los Angeles County Sheriff. Let's go on to another story here, this one from FoxNews.com. Pfizer and BioNTech have requested FDA emergency authorization of their COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 to 11, the companies announced yesterday. This is such that they also say that the companies previously announced that trial results on younger age groups, like children ages 6 months to under 5 years, are expected by the fourth quarter. Western Journal reporting that public health officials in Denmark and Sweden, countries that are routinely praised by the far left in America, have paused. That's right, they have paused the use of Moderna's vaccine for people under 30 years of age, citing an increased risk of heart problems associated with the COVID shot. We mentioned just a bit ago regarding the Los Angeles County Sheriff. Well, their mayor, Eric Garcetti, signed a sweeping mandate Wednesday of this week that requires the COVID-19 vaccination to enter a wide range of indoor venues. Under the ordinance, patrons ages 12 and older will have to show proof of the vax at indoor areas, including restaurants, bars, gyms, movie theaters, convention centers, card rooms, museums, malls, play areas, spas, salons, and indoor city facilities beginning November 4th. One of the strictest vaccine mandates, according to the Associated Press. Very interesting story there. Again, the sheriff said for his employees, he is not going to be enforcing that. The Epic Times is reporting New York City restaurants are finding business down 40 to 60% due to the vaccine mandate that requires 12 and older to show proof for, you know, like indoor dining facilities. One such owner of O'Donohue's, Fergal Burke, noticed that his business has seen a massive drop since his vaccine mandate came into effect. He said he needed to hire a person just to be at the door checking for vaccination proof that increased his expenses. Comparing the clientele from pre-mandate to when it kicked in about 2 weeks ago, he said, our business is definitely down 50, and then he said, I'm going to say 60%. They've had to refuse a lot of customers for not having the passes, and he said they're being refused, and they get a resentment against us. They don't get a resentment against Bill de Blasio or Biden or whoever's mandating us to check for this. It comes as a personal rejection. We don't want this mandate. We don't want anything to do with it. But he also knew how the subway is full of people with no requirement to show vaccination proof. I mean, how is that fair in New York City that the trains are jammed with people with a silly mask on and they're being mandated to show nothing and yet they're coming against the heart of the city? We're the ones that are trying to keep 20 people employed here, Burke said. That's a direct quotation. We will go out of business if this continues. It's going to force us to shut our doors. Is that what's going to happen? Let's look at what's happening in Canada. An Ontario town prohibits engaged couples who have chosen not to take the shots from obtaining a marriage license. This is Oakville, out of the province of Ontario, Oakville, Ontario. The regulations require that anyone who wants a marriage license from now on must show proof of inoculation. Marriage license, they say, is required to get legally married in Canada, according to Oakville's rules. Effectively now prohibit people who refuse the COVID shot from tying the knot. Couples cannot obtain a license online either. And here we have from LifeNews.com, a Colorado health system has announced it will deny transplants to unvaccinated patients, which could potentially put millions of Colorado residents' lives at risk if they need a transplant to save their lives. And for one Colorado resident, her decision to not get the vax has resulted in her getting rejected for a kidney transplant. UC Health, a Colorado-based hospital system affiliated with the Liberal University of Colorado, has made the decision to deny organ transplants to unvaccinated patients in almost all situations. In almost all situations, transplant recipients and living donors at UC Health are now required to be vaccinated against COVID-19 in addition to meeting their other health requirements and receiving additional vaccinations, a spokesman for UC Health said in a statement. Well, friends, I've got multiple other stories dealing with COVID and the shot. If time permits, we'll come back to them. Otherwise, we've covered it here quite significantly. Let's get on to some other issues here today on Crosstalk. We've got, CBN News reporting after all-night negotiations, Republicans and Democrats in Congress have reportedly reached a temporary agreement to raise the debt ceiling. Republicans had offered a proposal to extend the debt limit into December, but it came with a caveat. Mitch McConnell's offer will allow Democrats to raise the debt limit so that America can keep borrowing more money to pay its bills, including its debts to other countries. But in a statement on Twitter, he said his plans allow Democrats to use normal procedures to pass an emergency debt limit extension at a fixed dollar amount to cover current spending levels into December. You know what he did? He broke the filibuster. He and 10 other Republicans voted with the Democrats to have that, that 60-vote margin. So when it comes to the final vote on it, they don't need a majority any longer by means of veto, or rather a majority that would exceed the filibuster majority. Rather, they'll be able to pass it with 50 plus 1. Again, that's thanks to Mitch McConnell. It's been interesting to observe what's going on here in the state of Wisconsin with those who have come from Afghanistan to Fort McCoy. And taking a look at jihadwatch.org, skies over Sparta, Wisconsin have been as busy as when the Biden administration decided to dispatch 13,000 Afghans, including at least two pedophiles, to Wisconsin. Sparta, a town of less than 10,000 souls whose claim to fame as being the bicycling capital of America, could only watch as the population of Afghans outnumbering its own population created a new Afghanistan on the premises of Fort McCoy. None of the Afghans at Fort McCoy have special immigration visas. None of them. And meanwhile, Fort McCoy is near capacity. American soldiers are back to patrolling Afghan streets and trying to win their hearts and minds by asking them to use restrooms and not to abuse their women and children. But the scenes of American soldiers trying to keep the peace among Afghans and communicate American values to them no longer taking place in Kandahar, but it is in Wisconsin and other states. It's almost as if we never actually withdrew from Afghanistan. Americans are funding 3 halal meals a day for tens of thousands of Afghans. Bases are full of mosques. Our soldiers are trying to keep Afghans from killing and abusing each other, and we are on the hook for every dollar in welfare spending lavished on the Afghans while Americans struggle. As the Afghans leave Fort McCoy, the occupation of America will begin. Biden didn't withdraw from Afghanistan. He brought Afghanistan to America, reports Daniel Greenfield for Jihad Watch. Now, it just so happened as I was looking at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel newspaper for today, they have a headline that says, Qurans, prayer blankets, comfort Muslim evacuees. The Afghan evacuees housed at Fort McCoy as a way to complete their immigration paperwork now have access to Qurans and other prayer supplies thanks to donations. So far, about 1,000 Qurans have been sent to the military base to be distributed, according to a Task Force McCoy official. The Qurans were donated by the Islamic Society of Wisconsin as well as other groups throughout the state. Captain Jamal Bay, who is a chaplain, said the guests at Fort McCoy have been grateful to have access to what they need to practice their religion once again. Fort McCoy has about 12,600 Afghan refugees, Bay said. Having space to pray and access to Qurans and other religious articles like prayer, beads, and blankets means so much for them. Bay, by the way, folks, is also an imam, or a person who leads prayers in a mosque, has been guiding those at Fort McCoy on how to properly facilitate the Afghan guest in practicing their religion. He has been leading some services as well. Those at the fort, along with Bay, are also working with the contractors serving food at the base to ensure everything is halal. And friends, as you know, halal is asking, as meat is slaughtered, many times pointing the head of the animal toward Mecca and calling out Allahu Akbar, that Allah is greater, and putting their blessing on the meat. And there are those who certify that meat, who take their profits and help fund jihadist activity around the world. Something's wrong here, folks. I've got some more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk.
While living in this era of pandemics, economic chaos, natural disaster, and political strife, you may feel tempted to question whether God is in control. Yet when you look to the Bible, you'll find these events actually signal that His promises will soon be fulfilled. In the book Aftershocks, author Jeff Kinley reveals how current societal and global trends foreshadow the nearness of the end times, and how the prophecies about what is to come should renew your passion to lovingly proclaim Christ. Aftershocks addresses the global crisis, the rise of anti-Semitism, the end times economic collapse, and how the COVID pandemic is being used to promote globalism. Aftershocks is available for a donation of $16 or more by calling DCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup program. Yeah, we're in a mess here in our nation. And, you know, our answer, our hope is found in Jesus. And I trust, listening friends, as you hear the hopelessness and despair of things happening in our world today, that you would keep your eyes firmly fixed on the Lord. Trust Him, even in times that are challenging as well. I have a few more stories we'd like to get in here on our news roundup before we open some phone lines today. Washington Free Beacon is reporting U.S. weapons and military equipment left behind during the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan now being sold by gun dealers in the country. The New York Times interviewed weapons dealers in Afghanistan's Kandahar province who said Afghans have been selling an array of U.S. military gear near the Taliban that they had seized from Afghan national troops when they took over the country in August. U.S.-made equipment sold on the black market includes pistols, rifles, grenades, binoculars, and night vision goggles. American-made weapons are in great demand as they work very well and people know how to use them, one merchant said. Wow. I guess the U.S. is helping to bolster the economy there with your tax dollars. CNN reporting the ISIS-K suicide bomber who carried out a terrorist attack at Kabul International Airport in late August, killing 13 U.S. service members and dozens of Afghans, has been released from a prison just days earlier when the Taliban took control of the area, according to three U.S. officials, just days after. President's approval rating dropping to 38% approval in a new national poll. I'd like you to hear this exchange. This is really, really telling. We have reported here on Crosstalk about the matter of treating parents and those speaking against critical race theory and launching an investigation by the Attorney General to treat them as domestic terrorists. Well, on Wednesday of this week, Ted Cruz, a Texas senator, grilled the Deputy Attorney General, Kristen Clark, over the Biden Justice Department's ordering the FBI to investigate alleged threats against school board members and teachers, a move that comes as parents have been voicing opposition to critical race theory and mask mandates. Listen in as Senator Cruz does a grilling here of the Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, that is, Kristen Clark.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Clark, when you testified before this committee and when Attorney General Garland testified before this committee, you both promised to be nonpartisan and impartial. I'm sorry to say that I think neither of you have lived up to that promise. Within weeks of President Biden being sworn in, the Department of Justice dismissed a civil rights division lawsuit it had against Yale University for explicit racial discrimination. Yale has a policy that discriminates against Asian Americans at admissions. It does so brazenly and openly. And yet, the Department of Justice decided that preventing racial discrimination did not fit within the purview of the Biden DOJ. Now, in your defense, you were not yet there. Neither was Merrick Garland. So that was merely the initial political operatives of the Biden administration doing what they believed was consistent with the preferences of the president. But just this week, after you were there, after Merrick Garland was there, the Department of Justice issued a memorandum to the FBI instructing them to mobilize against parents across the country, parents of school kids, who have the temerity to show up at school boards and express their opposition to the teaching of critical race theory, a pernicious theory that divides us on racial lines, that tells school children the lie that America is fundamentally racist, that America is irredeemably racist, that all white people are racist. It spreads racial division. Many parents are understandably quite dismayed at schools that are teaching this to their children, sometimes as young as five. And yet the Department of Justice looked at that issue and decided to label the parents objecting to this teaching as domestic terrorists. Did you participate in discussions about the memo before it was issued?
Senator, I can't talk about internal deliberations.
You can't talk about whether you participated in discussions about the memo?
No, but what I can tell you is that the Civil Rights Division will play a role going forward. The Attorney General has asked the Department to undertake a review, and the division will participate in that review to determine how federal enforcement tools can be used to prosecute crimes.
Do you believe parents objecting to the teaching of critical race theory have civil rights in the democratic process?
I don't follow the question, Senator.
You don't understand the question whether parents objecting to critical race theory have civil rights?
The First Amendment is a core value in our democracy. And
I didn't say free speech. I said civil rights. School board meetings are democratic. They are petitioning your local government. Do they have civil rights that the voting rights gives out?
Yet they have the right to express their view, to challenge the school board, to ask.
And is it beneficial for the attorney general to label them as the domestic terrorists and direct the FBI to target them?
The attorney general's memo deals with threats against public servants and says that threats against public servants are not only illegal, they run counter to our nation's core values.
Do you believe parents objecting at school boards are domestic terrorists?
I don't, Senator.
Do you believe Antifa are domestic terrorists?
I don't have a view about Antifa.
Do you believe the Black Lives Matter protesters who burned shops, who firebombed police cars, who murdered police officers, do you believe they're domestic terrorists?
Senator, I believe that we live in a society where people espouse different views, but what we don't want are threats.
You know, Ms. Clark, it is amazing that you're not willing to condemn people who are murdering police officers and firebombing cities because your politics aligns with them. But at the same time, when it comes to parents at school boards, you're perfectly comfortable with calling a mom at a PTA meeting a domestic terrorist. Ms. Clark, with all due respect, this demonstrates why the Democrat proposal to take someone with as long a partisan record as you have and to put you in charge of striking down any voting rights law in the country that you disagree with is nothing but a partisan power grab. Let me give another example.
Okay, well, he goes on there, but folks, unbelievable exchange there. Senator Ted Cruz grilling the Deputy Attorney General Kristen Clark. This effort to brand those speaking out against critical race theory and questioning school mask mandates, etc., as being domestic terrorists. I mean, it's amazing. And yet, she, you know, when it came to about the violence and the killings and so forth that have happened by Black Lives Matter protests and riots around the country that have happened in many a city, well, people have a variety of viewpoints. Isn't that amazing? Friends, our phone lines are open here today at Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these stories or other current event issues, 800-733-9829. From Newsmax.com, abortions quickly resumed in some Texas clinics Thursday after a federal judge halted enactment of the state's tough new abortion law, but doctors across the state did not rush to resume normal operations, with the court battle far from over. This is an order by Judge Robert Pittman. Was meant to give Texas clinics cover to resume seeing most patients for the first time since early September. We understand clinics went into mode right away to start calling women to come on in and kill their babies. It's totally disgusting. LifeSiteNews.com does tell us as well that the Biden administration moved this week to rescind a Trump-era rule, including the excluding the abortion industry from federal family planning funds, winning the thanks of abortion giant Planned Parenthood. Big-time bucks going back into Planned Parenthood from the Biden administration. We also have from the Daily Wire, California Governor Gavin Newsom on Tuesday signed a bill to streamline the assisted suicide process for terminally ill patients who wish to end their own lives. The bill will slash the current 15-day waiting period for patients to get the lethal drugs to a mere 48 hours. The law also requires healthcare providers to post their physician-assisted suicide policies on their websites. Washington Examiner also telling us Governor Newsom signed two bills on Wednesday related to abortion rights, with both helping children hide medical information from parents. It'll keep patient information confidential for patients who are not the primary policyholder for their health insurance. Also, he signed into law a bill, legislation that reveals, this is AB 1184, sponsored by Planned Parenthood, Affiliates of California restricts insurance providers from revealing sensitive services provided to those on the policy to the policyholder, even when they are minors. So you may own the policy, but your children have the right and to keep that information from you, the policyholder. It includes abortions, treatment for sexual assault, drug addiction or mental health, and the use of cross-sex hormones or puberty blockers. Liz Cheney, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, indicated on a TV interview this past weekend she has rethought her conservative stances and now supports both same-sex marriage and transgenderism, even referred to a gender-confused man as she. And one other story here I'd like to tell you about. This is from the Western Journal. Apple is reportedly working on iPhone technology that's capable of detecting and diagnosing depression, according to the Wall Street Journal. The tech giant is developing the iPhone features to reliably detect and diagnose depression as well as cognitive decline. People familiar with the matter told the Wall Street Journal, the technology in its early stages of development, but will collect data on iPhone users' mobility and sleep patterns, physical activity, and other behaviors. However, researchers are still unsure whether they can create algorithms that reliably detect the mental health state of its users. Your thoughts on these issues today are number 800-733-9829. Let's go to George in Olney, Illinois. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment that the deception is in the language. You know, we continue to hear that murder is up, but that has to do with gun shootings. In reality, murder is up because we're killing babies in the womb, and we're also forcing people to take a vaccination that is killing them. And one of these days the numbers will come out and we will find out just who is really guilty.
Thank you for your thoughts here today. Indeed, that is taking innocent human life in the womb. I mean, picking on the most vulnerable and racing to the clinics and make sure they get their abortions in before things change in the state. Jim in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I just like whoever to point out the fact that these propagandists in our public schools are pushing this critical race theory. If they're going to be consistent, then they need to quit teaching evolution, because Charles Darwin was one of the biggest racists there ever was.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Thank you for your call. Our number 800-733-9829. Let's go to Andrew in Michigan. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim, again. Praying for you every day. Appreciate your program.
Thank you.
And I was thinking, listening to the program today, with the aborted babies that are being used in these quote-unquote vaccines, what a bizarre form of cannibalism that is. And it just one last thought. We are totally reverting back to the days of Noah before the flood.
Yeah.
And Christ is on the horizon.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate your call. Yeah, troublesome times indeed. Troublesome times indeed. And the barbarism that is present in our society. We're up against a quick break. We'll take the break and come back to more of your calls. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, the Archbishop Vigano put out a stunning video clip. It's an hour and a half. Archbishop Vigano, a Catholic archbishop, is warning that Pope Francis, a Marxist and a Jesuit, is pushing the New World Order, along with pushing what he says is a crime against humanity and the massacre of the world through the deep state's vaccination. What's ironic is the Archbishop is saying things and warning about things that I have warned about for years in my books, and yet I was called anti-Catholic. Yet here is, who will not call him Pope Francis, but calls him by his name Bergoglio, warning the Vatican has been taken over by the Jesuits, the Marxists, and is pushing a pantheistic New Age occultism for the New World Order. Pay attention, folks.
Did you see the amazing news coming out this week as well about the Olympic weightlifter Laurel Hubbard, been named Sports Woman of the Year by University of New Zealand, where the trans athlete hails from? Well, this is the first time we understand in the 113-year history of the award that's been given to somebody who is not biologically female. Hubbard identifies as a woman, formerly competed in men's weightlifting before transitioning in 2012 and moving over to the women's weightlifting category when allowed to do so, but actually named Sportswoman of the Year by a New Zealand university? Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Glendale, Arizona, we have Michael calling in. Hi, Michael, you're on the air.
Hi, is this Brandon?
No, this is Jim.
Oh, okay, Jim, I'm sorry. Yeah, I listen to your program every day and quite informed about what's going on. We were talking about this stuff at a shop I had 20-some years ago, so we were well aware of a lot of the things that were going to come in time. But I guess I'm about to write a book about my life. And when I write the book, I met a homeless fella who, when he heard the story, he said, Michael, he said, you not only have to write a book. Now, this is a homeless guy. He says, you need to make a movie. Because he said it will lead many to the Messiah.
Very good. Well, we wish you the best, Michael, in doing so. Thank you for calling. Ed in Mission, Texas, you're on the air.
Yes. I'd just like to make a comment about abortion. How come if a person can plan on having a baby aborted, if I went and shot somebody, it's murder, but you can kill a baby and it's not murder?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, does it? As a matter of fact, we're told in Scripture that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. We're taking innocent human life in the womb. And, you ask a question that many stumble to answer because you're taking the life of the unborn. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. By the way, a couple stories that it happened a couple of weeks ago. We just didn't get a chance to report them here on our news roundup. Scotland, we understand that became the first country in the world to implement a required LGBTQ plus curriculum in the schools. And that is going on there. We also have Switzerland here in the news report that voted to recognize so-called same-sex marriage. Again, this is late September, but became the latest European country to formally recognize same-sex marriage in law during a referendum. Passed 64.1% of the vote at the time of the story. The law also allowed lesbian women to go through treatments in order to go adopt children and allow same-sex couples to adopt children, et cetera, et cetera. We won't get into the details there. A little bit too gory here for radio. Happening at the White House, 16 transgender and intersex activists from around the world participated in a White House listening session. State Department spokesman told the Washington Blade the meeting was one of a series of listening sessions in this that the state is organizing. That would be Department of State on the Human Rights of Transgender Individuals through the Interagency Working Group on Safety, Inclusion, and Opportunity for Transgender Americans, that which the White House Domestic Policy and Gender Policy Councils created in June. The listening sessions will inform the working group's review of policies that drive violence and poverty for transgender individuals at home and around the world, including homelessness and employment discrimination, violence and abuse and bullying and rejection at school. Jessica Stern, the special U.S. envoy for the promotion of LGBTQ rights abroad. Did you know that such a position officially began her tenure in late September as among those who took part in that meeting? Yes, the White House having a listening session for intersex activists. Amazing. Washington Blade had that story there. From WND.com, lawyers representing a Colorado website designer are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to review a split decision by a lower court that allows the state of Colorado to force the Christian to speak messages that violate her beliefs. Officials with Alliance Defending Freedom are representing Lori Smith and her 303 creative firm because of the state's attacks that require her to design and publish websites promoting messages that violate her religious beliefs and even that bar her from explaining her objections. The government shouldn't weaponize the law to force a web designer to speak messages that violate her beliefs. The case involves a quintessential free speech and artistic freedom, which the Tenth Circuit dangerously cast aside, said Kirsten Wagoner, an attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom. That story at WND.com. Well, friends, we live in a society where good is evil and evil is good. Darkness is light and light is darkness, and we're seeing that exhibited just all over the nation in so many different aspects of education and just the politics as a whole. By the way, as we didn't get to cover this with our guest yesterday on the program, WND.com, Robert Knight was with us in Senate testimony regarding mask mandates and other COVID-19 protocols. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona said parents should not be the primary stakeholder in their children's education. Hear that? Parents are important stakeholders, but educators must determine the programs. Parents are not the primary stakeholders. Testified with the Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra, Cardona echoed Virginia Democratic gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe, saying parents should not tell schools what they should teach. And we also have Joe Biden appointing a critical race theory activist to the Department of Education amid the crackdown on parents. He appointed Precious McKesson, a Nebraska Democrat, a racial radical critical race theory activist, to the position of special assistant in the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Communications and Outreach. McKesson recently embedded herself in the critical race theory issue when she and some of her colleagues wrote an August 11th op-ed for the Lincoln Journal Star to oppose a measure to bar critical race theory from being taught at the University of Nebraska. Indeed, troubling times in which we live, friends, but again, as we started out the program today, we need to remember God is on the throne, and these things certainly happen not without his knowledge, knowing that his plan is going to come together for good. As for God, Scripture says his way is perfect. We need to trust him. Certainly we sound the alarm, as did Jonah, is warning and Jeremiah to repent and for to turn from sin and turn to the Savior. Time is running out in this life. The Bible says that life is but a vapor. We're here for a time, and then it vanishes away. The question is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you met him? Have you placed your trust in him to be your Savior? If not, my listening friend, we encourage you to do so even today. Our time is gone. Thanks for tuning in today and all this week here on Crosstalk. I trust that you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church this coming Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.